This is SEN's On The Clock podcast with Matt Granlund and inside football draft analyst Brett Anderson.
G'day everybody, welcome to our On The Clock podcast, and I'll tell you what, there is a lot happening at the moment. There's a bit of a vacuum because there is no football this weekend, so of course everything is turned to trade. A little bit of scuttlebutt off-field too with football managers and players and drugs and all that sort of stuff. There's lots happening in the news. Unfortunately, it's not actually about the footy. But that suits us here on our podcast because that's what we talk. A little bit of trade, a little bit of draft. And Brett Anderson is SEN Inside Football's draft analyst and joins me. Hello, Brett.
Hey, mate. No drugs. We don't touch that sort
we
of
don't,
side.
No, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
But, two blokes with the least clue about any of that stuff in the history of the
true.
World.
That is very true. All right, let's talk about some trades. And since last we spoke...
We had bad timing last week,
we
Matty,
did, yeah.
Because we recorded last week on the Thursday, so Boomer Harvey's announcement had been earlier in the week, so we focused very much on that. But then the statement came out from Jago O'Meara later that afternoon.
That's right.
We were left scrambling trying to put together a bit of information to try and get a second part last week, but how about we just deal with it today with Jago, because there's a bit happening there, and Dion Prestia too, in the meantime, has also nominated where he wants to go on top of that, so there's a bit floating.
Yep, so we'll start with Jago O'Meara, and there's a talking to a couple of managers, and you've probably had the same conversations. There's a train of thought that he's announced that he wants out, and nine times out of ten, when players announce they want out, they've already got a home. They've already got somewhere they want to go. And is that what you're thinking, that he may not be putting it on the table now as to where he wants to go, but that he would pretty much have a good idea of his destination club?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that's one theory. There's also another theory, though, Matty, that he could be doing what Chris Judd did, and he's got a list of clubs that he's interested in going to, and he's going to just do the tour. And we understand that he's obviously going to have to go through some pretty stringent and rigorous medical checks with each club because of his knee and his patella issues. So that's another thing that could potentially be happening as well. But I think that everyone's guessing a little bit in terms of where he will end up. No one's got any strong mail on that one. There's a list of clubs that we've...
Well, let's talk about the list that we're hearing. We're hearing St Kilda. We're hearing Hawthorn, who's linked to everyone at the moment, Hawthorn, and we're hearing Essendon. Obviously, they've got the...
And a little bit of Carlton. I wouldn't rule totally.
I wouldn't
rule Carlton out. No, not 100%. No.
So, who's got cap space for him? Because he's going to demand a lot of money. Hawthorn, have they got the cap space if they get Tom Mitchell? We're hearing that.
And Ty Vickery.
Yep. Would they still have space left?
You think it's unlikely,
Jager,
in terms of cap space there, if that's what we're going to sort of talk about in that sense, you'd think that's unlikely.
St Kilda, would they have cap space
for
him?
Yeah, I think they would, yep.
And Essendon, would Essendon have cap space?
Yeah, I would have thought they would, yeah.
Is North Melbourne a chance for him or not? They've got cap space.
With what they did last week, you would suggest that they've done it with something in mind, as we spoke about, and whether it's Jager or not, or whether it's David Swallow or another player. I would suggest they've got cap space. Mm. It's just whether there was I did read something last week about them ruling him out medically or earlier in this week, but I haven't really chased up that too much.
Okay.
So I don't know whether that's true or not. It might be, it might not be. So we'll try and chase it up a little bit more. But if you're looking at cap space, you would say that there's a couple of clubs, yes, and then it is hard to see how Hawthorn do it, honestly.
All right. So that's Jago O'Meara. Dion Prestia has nominated Richmond as his... destination club. They've got to do a deal. I heard his manager on with Marty Pask, yep, on with Kevin Bartlett a little earlier, talking with Kevin Bartlett and Greg Denham, talking about that very much that first round pick six, I think it is,
yep,
is in play. There's also a little bit of scuttle butt around, and Greg brought this up during the interview, that Port Adelaide may get involved in that deal. Not too sure in which way. He put that to Marty Pask, who said that is not the case. So how does this deal get done between Richmond and the Gold Coast?
You would think that unless the likes of a Shane Edwards or a Reece Conker or a Brandon Ellis or a Ben Lennon, who we now understand wants out of Richmond, could be used along with a lesser pick, you would think that pick six is going to have to be involved in some way based on the length of contract that we understand that he's receiving from Richmond and also the terms of it and financial terms. You would think that that's going to have to be used based on what's going on there and his age, like he's 23 or 24, so... pick six would have to go in some way. Now, would Richmond want to hang on to pick six? Absolutely, because you don't want to be giving that away, getting a player in. You'd love to have that to go with the player coming in.
Yep.
But the way that you read it, you would think that it's going to have to be involved in some sort of deal.
Okay, so Dion Prestia, it'll have to be maybe a three-way deal, maybe another club gets involved, maybe some players get involved. Travis Cloke has said that he wants out. A couple of clubs linked to him, but the one that we're hearing his favourite at the moment is the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's a funny one, the Cloakey one, because I actually haven't heard too much about where he could end up or what's happening with him. So I think he's fallen, and this is no slight on Trav. It's more that there's just some bigger fish out there at the moment that we're trying to find out what's going on. And Trav's sort of a bit of a secondary, not a secondary target, but he's a bit down the line in terms of trying to figure out, okay, this is what's happening and that's what's happening. So, look, I don't know too much about that. You might know a little bit more, Matty, in terms of what Trav's thinking or what he's doing.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing, obviously, the ones that everyone's been hearing, Western Bulldogs, I think, favourite. He's spoken with North Melbourne as well. And he's spoken with Richmond. They're the three clubs that I've heard that he's spoken with, but I think the Western Bulldogs at this stage is his first choice, if indeed they want him and a deal can be done. So that's Travis Cloke.
What's your take on North? You just raised them there. And in terms of what they're doing, their forward line? So if they were to get Trav in, and look, Drew Petrie's obviously going out, what do you think?
Looks like Jared Waite is staying.
So he's not contracted at the moment for next year. So
you're hearing he's staying for another year. They want to load him up maybe for one more year.
What my take on it, and this isn't what I'm hearing, my take would be that they're waiting to see what happens with his body and throughout the final series, if he can get back, and then deciding what they do moving forward. I would think that they're looking to plan around a forward line of Ben Brown, Mason Wood, and potentially Chris Mayne moving forward. That's a lot of hair, though, in that forward line. It's a very hairy forward line.
Chris Mayne's definitely been linked to. And the other player that's been linked is not a forward line player, but certainly a key position player, Nathan Brown from Collingwood.
At the other end, yeah.
At the other end.
I think Collingwood's got an offer on the table to him. It's just whether he decides on he wants to move for a new start or whether he stays at the footy club. But just North, I think, are an interesting one. I wouldn't totally guarantee right now that Jared Waite's back there next year. I think there's a little bit to play out there in terms of seeing what they can do and what his body does. So whilst the North fans have thought, oh, we've got rid of Drew and Boomer for Jared Waite, effectively, and we're going to keep Waite, we're going to nick off all these champions of our footy club, I just hold your horses on that one. I don't think that's totally done and dusted just yet in terms of Jared Waite being there next year. There's a little bit to go through now.
Tom Mitchell from Sydney and Andrew Ireland was very interesting on Tom Mitchell. Said, we want to keep him. We definitely want to keep him. He's indicated that he wants to stay. However,
we've offered him $100,000.
However, we can only pay him what we can afford, and if we can't match what the market is paying, well, he's going to have to go. And I think that will be the case from what I'm hearing.
Because Tom said that he wants to stay.
He definitely wants to stay, but they just haven't got
it's
the money.
It's very difficult at times to stay. Let's put a figure out there. Say they're offering him $350 or $320 or something like that.
Yeah.
We're not hearing that number at all, but I'm just trying to chuck a number at you. And yet offers elsewhere might be $500,000-$600,000. It's pretty tough
to stay
when you're a young player. Look, certainly as an older player at the end, if you're a bit like what Luke Hodge, from what we can understand, has done playing for very little, and probably what Boomer's done at the back end of his career from what we can understand as well, playing for not much because you've built it up. But you can't really do that when you're in your prime. This is your money-making time as an AFL footballer, and this contract for Tom probably needs to be, as much as he'd love to stay at Sydney and he'd love to get that money from Sydney. He probably needs to look at going elsewhere to set himself up personally for the future.
And the other thing Andrew Ireland said, don't expect them to be too active with big names. Don't expect a Buddy Franklin something sneaky
draft
happening.
And maybe a couple of little side things, lesser things.
I've
brought up
cap.
Jack Grimes a few times. I think you're looking at that type of player.
Yep, their salary cap is very, very tight. And the other thing he did mention...
A bloke's on $10 million and their salary cap's tight.
The other thing he did mention, which I think we've talked about here and I've spoken about with a couple of player managers, is the TPP, which is a little bit boring for people, but the total player payment isn't set yet.
No,
absolutely.
And it's creating a few issues at club
it's
land
a big
and with managers.
Yep, so some clubs are kind of overestimating what the TPP might be next year. So that TPP being the
increase,
total
player
payment for what they can actually pay their wages, and some are underestimating. So what can obviously happen if the clubs are overestimating, let's say the jump is going to be 10%, and there's some clubs out there thinking that it might go to 12 or 13%. Well, that really affects your salary cap, and that would mean
that
it would have to squeeze some players out. And there could be some clubs that have done the opposite, been a little bit more conservative, saying that We're thinking maybe an 8% jump next year.
So they're going to have some room.
And they might have some room. So, and that is playing havoc, I think, with a lot of these deals at the moment.
Well, I think it's really hard because the Players Association are pushing, obviously, for a fixed percentage of income to come in. And and I do know that some managers are talking to clubs and they've got two options in terms of, okay, well, this is what we're talking about. If there is an increase and we go with a fixed percentage, or if we just go with the normal path that we're down now, there's sort of two different numbers that they're talking about there when it comes to player deals.
Yep.
So, from my understanding too, Matty, I'm hearing that the whole TPP and the salary cap situation at a few clubs is a bit messy. We've spoken about it a little bit earlier in our podcasts around where GWS sit with a few bonuses that what we understand are built into contracts through previous regimes. And there's a few others out there too that, and I think you'll probably see it through the trade period. It won't be too hard to figure out who it is when you see a lack of movement. But obviously from what Andrew Ireland said this morning, they're fairly tight at the Swans.
Yeah, and I think there's a few clubs in that boat. Let's just bring up a couple of individual players that I am hearing. Jack Frost from Collingwood, maybe a link with Brisbane. Keep a watch on that. Jared Lyons from the Adelaide Crows is an interesting one too, Brent. We've spoken about him briefly on this podcast. He's played most games for Adelaide. He's been a fairly consistent player.
Very solid player.
But
Melbourne had a dip in him, I reckon, last year or the year before.
He's unsigned. He remains unsigned at the Adelaide Crows, remembering that they spent overs probably on what they wanted to on Josh Jenkins. They've got a fairly tight salary cap as well. So don't be surprised if Lyons makes his way. He's a Melbourne boy. Makes his way back home to Victoria because he's yet to sign a contract with the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be a few players like him, isn't there, that we think are going to move around in this period. And there might even be the big name who pops up out of nowhere or that might have been only sort of slightly mentioned about that might bob up in the trade period. But yeah, I think Jared Lyons would be a great pickup for a lot of Melbourne clubs if he was to come back. He's been a very solid citizen over there and playing some good footy this year.
So that's a few. GWS and the players there... What are you hearing with the players playing in the...
In the NEAFL?
NEAFL at the moment and where they're heading to.
Hearing that... Well, Adam Tomlinson's playing some great footy in the seniors. The last 2 weeks, he's been sensational.
Yep.
I wonder if it causes a rethink there, but I still think he probably goes to Carlton on him, and that'd be a great addition alongside Jacob Wietering for key defensive slots. And I've always thought he was a key defender from the very first time I saw him at Oakley Chargers. I just always thought that he was a back, but his tank has probably meant that he plays forward a little bit in that Nick Riewoldt role. It hasn't quite worked out. Look, his NEAFL form's amazing, but it's great to see him hit some form there. In terms of the other guys, Will Hoskin-Elliott's name continues to bob up with a link to Collingwood and a few other clubs. Yeah. Who else is in the... No, Paddy McKenna, who is the former Australian under-19 cricket captain, continues to be linked a little bit with Carlton as a bit of a steak knife sort of deal, but a lesser deal, a bit like the Mark Wiley stuff a few years ago and Liam Sumner, that type of young player that not many people know about or talk about that much. Jared Pickett, I'd be really surprised if Jared Pickett was still at GWS next year. Former top five pick. It just hasn't quite come on. Had some injury issues. Probably needs to work a bit harder as well. Who else is there in GWS's reserves?
Jack Steele. Yep.
Like Jack Steele and St Kilda's fairly strong.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, you're hearing that a lot.
But I think also, look, who knows what happens with Jager with them? Do they get Jager and Jack Steele in? Are they able to do that? Who knows? So there's going to be a few options for some clubs there. Who else in GWS's reserves? Caleb Marchbank is obviously out injured at the moment, whose name's bobbed up, and Carlton was the one that we continued to hear for a while, but I think there's a lot of interest in him. And outside of that, I'm not too sure of many others that I can think of off the top of my head right now, Matty.
Tyrone Vickery is the other one that we alluded you to last week, to Hawthorn. I think that is definitely on the cards. It's been reported in the Herald Sun, a three-year deal for Hawthorn.
Yeah, great pickup. And I think he'd be fantastic at Hawthorn. You plug him into that forward line, David Hale role. He gets a bad rap, Ty Vickery. He's a better player than what people give him credit for.
Into another culture, into a better culture too. That's, I think, the key thing too for Tyrone Vickery, that he goes to a club that's led by Luke Hodge into a system that's coached by Alistair Clarkson. I think they can make a player out of him. I'm with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would have loved Melbourne to have a crack at him, but I think he'd be awesome at Hawthorn. That's a really smart addition.
So that looks like Tyrone Vickery. A lot of stuff happening with the assistant coaches as well. We've seen a few coaches being told that they're not required. A number of coaches at Richmond. Gary Hocking was an interesting one, Port Adelaide. And he's been at Port Adelaide for a number of years now. And very close to Ken Hinckley, so it would have been a tough decision for Ken to make. They've been best mates, really, for the last 20 years, Ken Hinckley and Gary Hocking.
You've got some hard calls to make, Port, with where they sit list-wise, but also with their coaching group. Losing Phil Walsh from that group, but also Alan Richardson's really left a hole from the way I see it in terms of someone there as a mentor for Ken and being able to play the good cop, bad cop role. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do with their coaching group, I think.
The Brisbane Lions, interesting. Obviously, we know that Justin Lepich has been sacked. Tom Rockliffe, now, he's been written about in the Courier-Mail again in the last 24 hours about...
There's a bit of smoke around this.
Yeah, some discontent, not getting along with players. I think the word toxic was used. Do you think he'll be a Brisbane Lion in 2017?
I think right now, I think it's more likely he plays somewhere else next year.
Yep.
Just my reading and little things that you do here. Adelaide's name bobs up from time to time with him, but a move back to Victoria as well, potentially. I just think that they've got some really big decisions to make, and it's going to depend on who the coach is coming in, what the administration do. Do they have a fresh start totally and clear out some players that have been there for a while and get some value? Because Tom's got value. You'd be able to get something for Tom Rockliffe, and he'd be really good, I think, addition to a good team. Imagine him in that Adelaide side. I think he'd be a fantastic addition as a goal-kicking mid.
Yep.
The question is what the new regime does.
Isn't it interesting? Everyone's talking about... you know, they've got a lot of time, Brisbane, to find a coach, and they can take their time.
Did you see who the new front runner is?
Who's that?
Did you see who that was?
Who? Oh, Chris Fagan.
Ah,
yeah. Chris Fagan. Yeah, why not? Well, I mean, they'd be silly not to at least talk to him, Chris Fagan.
But we struck out a little bit on Maxi on the other one, because I think we went with Fags and Nick Maxwell.
We were spitballing a little bit. But
in terms of, yeah.
Sorry, back to the point I was making before you rudely interrupted, is that, you know, we're being told that they've got a lot of time to find a new coach, but they've got some big lists. Management decisions to make, so they're going to
need one in place before.
They're going to be very quick, don't they? They're going to be reasonably quick. They've got obviously the final series. They're going to be hiring a coach in the next 2 to 3 weeks before trade and free agency really hits.
You probably think that they need a week or two before, as you mentioned, those periods start to be able to make proper assessments on where the club sits and on the list, and have time to sit there and go over it and have those discussions. So you wouldn't think that they'd be still looking for a coach during the trade period. You'd think that that would be counterproductive to what they need to do moving forward. So you would think that there is a bit of a rush on, not a rush, but they do have a time frame on when they need to get this done to build the footy club back to where it needs to be.
Where's Neil Baum going? Because we learned that Gabby Allen has officially been installed as football manager of Collingwood. He is, Neil Baum this is, he's weighing up whether or not to stay at the club as a director of coaching, I think was the title they may have given him. Do you think he'll be at the Magpies next year?
All the information that you hear, and like KB obviously is on radio with him, and you've heard KB be really strong on what he thinks, and KB thinks that he won't be at Collingwood next year, so I'm just going to go with what KB thinks. He's got probably a better insight into it than what I do, but it is pretty hard to see.
I reckon he could write his own ticket for Brisbane if he wants to make the move up there. There's also talk that Gold Coast might have some interest in him. And, of course, he's old.
Well, it's a nice place to retire, I guess, if you want to retire.
Absolutely.
And someone did say that the other day. He's 64, Barmy.
Yep.
So you'd be looking down that line. If you're going to retire, well, I could think of worse places to retire than the Sunshine Coast or the Gold Coast.
And then, of course, there's that link to his first club being Richmond.
Yeah.
So whether or not there's room for him
Lennox
there?
Street, I don't know. I think I'd go with the Sunshine Coast over Lennox Street, but there are some options for Barmy. He's a man in demand, absolutely. So... it's going to be an interesting one, and I think that that's what this week has done, is you talk about trade talk and the drug stuff and coaching moves and all these little things floating around, and I think we floated this a little bit last week, that this next 2 weeks was going to be huge for this, and it kicked off with a bang with the Gubby Allen stuff coming out eventually, because that has been floating around for a little while, the drug story, but also the other story involving Craig Britton. So there's been a little bit going on with Gubby in the background, and but then for that to drop early in the week, then the Jago O'Meara stuff has obviously been a talking point. There's been a lot going on, and I think we're going to continue to have that through the rest of this week, over the weekend, and then into next week, which is a touch unfortunate for me because I'd love to focus on what should be a really good final series.
And I think just to leave you as we wrap the podcast up, just to leave you with this is I think we are going to see more of these players that we're not expecting come out. I request a trade. I would like a fresh start somewhere else. And I think we're going to see a few more of those as the next couple of weeks progress.
I think there's a lot happening at one club in particular, and that's Richmond. There's a fair bit happening there, whether it be on-field, off-field. We've heard of board challenges, potential board challenges.
Yep.
Bit of disruption, Benny Gale being linked with the MCC job for a long, long time now. Do I think he takes it? I reckon there's a good chance Benny goes in that role. So there's a lot happening, but also within the playing group too. Ben Lennon going, Dion Prestia coming in. Names have been thrown up. Jack Riewoldt's name's been thrown up, which he's dismissed pretty strongly in recent times. Who knows? Look, things could change at Richmond, and I think
things are changing at Richmond.
Yeah, it's certainly a watch this space on the Tigers. There's that much going on at the moment, and there's probably still a lot more to come out.
All right, there you go. There's your watch, folks, from Brett Anderson at Watch This Space Richmond.
Just very quickly on some draft stuff, instead of going to Geelong last week, I was going to go to Geelong, Matt, to watch the Cats and the Demons.
Good stuff.
I was going to until the Demons lost to the Blues, and then we couldn't make the finals. So I thought, okay, well, I'm not going now.
Lucky you didn't go. They got touched
50
up.
$50 in petrol. Turfy got into me because he went. Yeah. He said, no, I'm going down there. So I thought, I'll go to the TAC Cup. It was the bottom four teams played each other, which was a new concept this year. They played each other on the one day. So there was two games. And I thought, I'll check the score and see what's going on at Geelong. And saw the score and I thought, well, I've just made the greatest decision of all time not to go down to Geelong and see my team get absolutely pasted. The problem was, though, is the two games at Icon Park on Saturday were pretty ordinary as well, so there wasn't much to take out of it. Ben Ainsworth played quite well in the second game, but more late. He filled his boots a bit after half-time. I think he had 25 possessions and a couple of goals, maybe three goals in the second half, especially in the last quarter. He had 15 and a couple. So, but it wasn't great footy. Now, looking forward to the TAC Cup final starting this week in earnest with the top eight teams at Box Hill on Saturday and also on Sunday at Icon Park.
I'll put you on the spot here with Essendon, right? Yep. They were under threat of losing their number one draft pick last weekend when they won. And then they were.
How do you reckon Adrian was going while Nick Riewoldt was going bananas?
Not ideal.
He would have been sitting there thinking, oh, Nick, what are you doing to me? This is payback for the Carlisle deal last year.
Yep.
So they're killing me.
They still get number one, okay. Who do you think they're taking at this stage at number one? Are you hearing anything out of Essendon as to have they got their eye on any particular player?
Probably not really at this stage, Matty. There's still a little bit of way to go. And as we've spoken about the whole way through the draft process or the whole way through the year, it's pretty even with sort of six or seven guys you could put out there. But I think for me, the way that I read it, there's one guy who's separated himself at the top, and that's Hugh McCluggage. So I would find it, at the moment, if the draft was today, I'd be really shocked if he wasn't the number one pick. But who knows what could happen with the Bombers. They could see things totally differently in terms of what they want and what they're looking moving forward. But you could throw the names of Will Brody in there, Tim English you could throw in there, Andy McGrath,
yep.
Jack Scrimshaw. I would think that if he had a massive final series, could come from the clouds. Also got Ben Ainsworth as well.
Ainsworth, so yep.
There are quite a few names there at the top end who could still potentially be the number one pick. But for me right now, I think that Hughes sort of put a fair bit of distance between himself and the rest of the pack. Guys who average 30-odd possessions and a goal a game from midfield, try and find one of them around. They're not easy to find.
Another question with Essendon, could there be a player they have that they are quite prepared to and are planning to walk through the preseason draft at pick one without having to do a deal?
O'Meara? You've got to think that when you've got that pick and they have an interest in a player like Jager, that, yeah, it's a potential that to happen.
I think they might have one.
You think they might have one? Anyone in particular?
I don't know, but I think they might have one in mind. But I will leave you with that. That is our podcast for this week. But before we let you go, we've been really enjoying you interviewing some former players about their draft experience, how they were drafted, clubs they've spoken to. And today, a great St Kilda champion who's now at GWS, Lenny Hayes. He was a New South Wales boy. It was an interesting draft that year because they had Lenny Hayes.
The Swans overlooked him three times.
Yep, they had Lenny Hayes and Mark McVay as well in that same draft. And they overlooked both of them, actually. I think they might have got, from memory, Jude Bolton. Nick Fosdot might have been in that draft as well. So
Ryan Fitzgerald
in that
draft.
So he'll tell us more. Let's have a listen to Lenny Hayes and his draft experience.
Lenny, thanks for joining us. pick 11 in the 1998 draft, it seems a long, long time ago. But what were your memories around that time? Obviously, the Swans had three picks before where you went at 11 to the Saints. But what can you recall from sort of that time in your career?
Yeah, you know, it was a fair while ago now, mate. But, it was a good time. I was living in Canberra at that time. I moved there from Sydney when I was 16 to play for the Rams. So I had a couple of years there. And then my memories from that day, I think there was about 12 to 15 of us who went out to Channel 7 Studios in Canberra to watch it live. So I was sitting there with a few teammates and... and heard my name get picked out at pick 11. It was a really good day. I mean, it was a little bit mixed emotions because a number of guys in the room who'd given up, you know, a fair bit that they've moved away from their families as well to Canberra didn't get picked up. So there's a little bit of, a bit of empathy towards a few mates that didn't get picked up. But overall, just really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have a function the night before?
I did, mate, yes. It was actually Ray Hall's 18th, so... Probably ended up having a few more beers than I thought I probably would. but I think that was a bit of a... We had a really good side that year, made the prelim, got knocked out by the Murray Bush Rangers, but we're a really tight group, and I think we ended up getting about six or seven guys drafted from that year, and Ray Hall went to Richmond, so he was one of those. So it was... I guess it was something that took my mind off the draft the following day by having a mate's 18th.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, as I mentioned, Sydney had a few picks before. Did you have any contact with clubs and having an understanding as to where you were going to go, or was it a bit of, let's just wait and see on the night?
A little bit of wait and see. Probably the only contact I really had was with Port Adelaide, who I think they might have had a couple of picks in the top 10 as well.
Yep.
They sort of said that they were thinking about me with... They may have had pick 7, maybe. I think Michael Stevens and Josh Carr went with two of their early picks. So I thought that if I did go around that sort of top 10 mark, that it might have been to them, but ended up going to the Saints, and I was pretty happy about it.
What was it like for the family, mate, when the opportunity was there, probably to think that you might stay in Sydney with those three picks ahead to then move down to Melbourne?
Yeah, I think they were probably a little bit disappointed, but I was, over the moon just to get drafted, so that was sort of my goal, from probably the age of about 15 was to have a go and try and get drafted. So, get picked up and then go down, to the home of football, really, in Melbourne. I was really excited, but, I think Mum was a tiny bit disappointed initially, but, John Beveridge flew up and had a barbecue at our place at spoke a bit about the club, and I was lucky enough to be offered the number 7 Guernsey as well when John came up and met Mum and Dad and my two sisters and brother. So that was pretty special. I think after that meeting with John, I think Mum was a little bit more comfortable with me moving down to Melbourne.
Most guys, when they get drafted, there's generally a few of you who come to the club at the same time. Do you still catch up with a lot of the boys who got drafted in your year? I think you're pretty close with quite a few of them, mate, yeah?
Yeah, I am, Ando. Stevie Baker's a really close mate of mine. James Begley, who was 22 from Adelaide.
The male model from Adelaide.
The male model, the Clio Bachelor of the Year. I think he came second or third runner-up. He's gone on to bigger and better things now, Begs. But no, we're still really tight. And Kurt Hazelwood, who was from Tassie. So we had a pretty good crew, and we've all remained really close. I think we got Milne in the rookie draft the next year.
Yep.
And we're all around a similar age. So, yeah, we had a good crew.
Yeah, absolutely. And, look, you're involved at the Giants now, mate. What's some advice that you've got potentially for kids going to the combine this year? You would have gone through it at the draft camp, just in terms of the way they prepare and prepare for league footy, because it is a big step up and it's a big change for them. But it's also, an opportunity for them to display their wares and put themselves on show for 18 clubs.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I went to two draft camps and... Look, they can be quite intimidating places with, all eyes are on you. And I think it's no different to, preparing for a game or an exam. If you do your preparation and you put in a bit of time, then, you'll get the results that you want during those two or three days. The first one I trained pretty hard for, but the second one we played in finals right up until that point. Then I had one or two weeks where I probably didn't do a lot, and my results, my beep test and all of that suffered a little bit. But, it's hard to, not an overly enjoyable days, but all you can do is just go there and give it your best, and the rest will take care of itself, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there anyone who stood out in your mind in terms of a personality that you didn't know too much about at the draft camp, or that you thought, have a look at this bloke?
Yeah, Simon Black was the one for me in 97. I went to the draft games at Waverley Park, and we did this front square drill. There would have been, almost 50 guys on the oval kicking it from end to end with a couple of guys bringing it to ground, and I reckon he got five or six in a row, and I just thought, this bloke, he's a smart footballer, and he's gone on and had a great career.
Fantastic stuff again, Brett Anderson there with our draft experience this week. That is it for the On The Clock podcast. If you've got any questions, where's the Twitter handle? What is the Twitter handle?
On The Clock SEN or Brett Anderson IF. And next week I'm going to have my latest big board draft top 25 available to chat about.
And if you've heard any trade scuttlebutt, please send it through and we'll investigate.
So just let us know where Jager's going, because I don't think any of us in the media have got any idea, and we are all guessing.
We'll talk to you next week.